If the Bible was written by some 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years, the book we hold today had to have a serious editor. Where did the Bible come from? Who picked what writings got in and which were rejected? Today, the bottom line on how God superintended the Bible's contents. To learn more, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Today, Dr. Lutzer explains reason number six, the canon of the Bible, that is, how God safeguarded the scriptures he inspired.
There's a story about a Protestant minister who spent a lot of time at the racetrack gambling. And he began to observe that there was a priest who was down at the racetrack and who blessed certain horses. And whenever those horses were blessed, they won. So I thought to himself, all that I have to do is to keep track and look at that priest and see what horse he blesses, and then I'll put my money on that one. Well, that's what he did. Saw the priest bless the horse. The Protestant minister decided to put all of his money on that horse and ran about 100 yards and fell over dead. He's pretty upset because he lost a lot of money, and he found the priest and said, "I don't understand it. You blessed horses, and every horse you blessed won the race. You blessed this one, and he died." And the priest said, "Well, you know, that's the problem with some of you Protestants." He said, "You can't tell the difference between a blessing and last rites." Well, you know, of course, that there are differences between Protestants and Catholics. And today, because of the nature of the subject, we're going to have to talk about those differences in a spirit of love, in a spirit of sensitivity. But the differences are going to have to be talked about and faced, ultimately. When Stephen and Janet Ray converted from Protestantism to Catholicism, they said that their decision came down to this question. Now listen carefully. Did the New Testament give birth to the church, or did the church give birth to the New Testament? You say, "Run that past me again." Well, here's the issue, you see. If the New Testament gave birth to the church, then the New Testament has primacy. But if the church birthed the New Testament, then the church has primacy, and it is first not only in time, but also in authority. Let me put it for you a little bit more clearly, perhaps. The Catholics say that the Bible alone cannot be our authority because the Bible does not tell us which books are authoritative. Therefore, the church and not the Bible is the final authority. And that's why church tradition is elevated, not only equal with the scriptures, but in a sense above the scriptures. See, that's why those of us who are Protestants, we're sometimes a little confused, aren't we, when we talk with our Catholic friends and we say, "Now, why do you pray to Mary when it's not found in the Bible?" And many Catholics are not troubled by that at all because they say that I do not base it on the Bible. I base it on the tradition and the teaching of the church because the church has primacy over the scriptures. Now today we're going to be discussing some of these issues, and I need to simply pause and remind you of the fact that if you're here today and you are a Catholic, not only are you welcome, but you are in good company. In fact, we have discovered as we have new members classes here at the Moody Church that about 25 to 35% of all the people who join Moody Church have a Catholic background. And I've discovered as I've traveled around the country that we have thousands of listeners over our radio programs, on our radio programs, who are Catholic. And so we want you to know that you not only are welcome, but I hope that what I have to say today will be accepted in a spirit of acceptance and the recognition that there are these differences that we simply cannot avoid in this series of messages on the question of the Bible being the Word of God. Let me tell you what we hope to accomplish today. And I don't know whether or not we'll be able to do it all, but here are the questions that I hope to answer in the next 25 minutes. When was the decision made as to what book should be in the Bible and who made it? Can we be sure that we have the right books in the Bible? Why does the Catholic Church have some additional books now found in the Protestant Bible? And why do Protestants believe that the Bible alone is the basis for faith and practice? Now, today we're going to cover some things that could become quite technical, but we'll try to keep them from being such. Normally, when I preach here at the church, I take one passage of Scripture and expound it. Today, we're going to look at a number of different verses. In some instances, I will simply quote them because we have a lot of territory to cover. And I hope that you will hang in. I discovered that last week there was a woman who is present who said, "Everything that Pastor Lutzer says is above my head." I have two comments about that. Number one, it's hard for me to believe that that is true because I've always prayed that God would keep me simple. And my staff has said, "Stop praying it. He's overdone it already." And secondly, if it is above your head, I just want you to sit up a little straighter, and I'm sure that it will not get passed. All right. So with that introduction, let's begin. Now, let's begin by talking, first of all, about how the Bible came to be, the Old Testament. How did it come to be? Well, when God inspired Moses and told Moses the words of the Lord, the Scripture says that Moses wrote down all these words in a book. And then it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 26, that the book was taken and it was laid up in the Ark of the Lord. And as you study the history of the Old Testament, you discover two things. Number one, various books were added. And number two, they were revered. They were recognized to be the Word of the Lord. And throughout the Old Testament, you have that expression, "the Word of the Lord came to me." Now, to be fair, we have to understand that there were some books that were included then in the canon as it was developing, and there were those who were uneasy and wondered whether they should be in the canon. For example, some people said that the Song of Solomon is too sensual. They read the book of Esther and discovered that the name God does not occur in the book, and they wondered whether or not the book of Esther should be in the Old Testament. But by and large, they were convinced that what they had was the Word of God, and there was widespread agreement that the books that were included and revered were Scripture. Now, not all the books that were written during that period of time were included as Scripture. For example, the book of Joshua speaks about a book of Jasher. First and Second Samuel talk about a book that I believe is called the Book of the Wars of the Lord. We don't know what happened to these books. All that we know is that they were not included as Scripture, and so far as we know, they have passed from history. What's important for us in this message is to realize that the canon that Jesus had, and by the way, I'm going to be using that word canon, it refers to the books that were thought to be qualified Scripture. Actually, the word canon originally was a reed or a measuring rod, and so it became applied to those books that made the grade, so to speak. But what is important for us to realize is that all of the books that we have in our Old Testament, all 39 in content, were identical to the Old Testament that Jesus had when he walked the face of this earth. Now, if I had a Hebrew Bible here and opened the table of contents, we would discover that it looks quite different than our Old Testament. For example, our Old Testament has 39 books. The Hebrew Bible has only 22. But the reason is because they combined certain books. For example, in the Hebrew Bible, there is no 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. It's simply Samuel and Kings. And other smaller books were attached to other larger ones. So you have 22 books, but the content is the same. The second thing we discover is that the arrangement of the books, the order is different. Would you believe that in the Hebrew Bible, if we had one today here, we could show it to you, that the last book is Chronicles. We call it 2 Chronicles, and that's the last book of the Old Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Now, with that background, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I ask you to turn here because this gives further incidental proof of the fact that when Jesus was on earth, the canon of the Old Testament, the 39 books we have, though arranged differently and grouped differently, was exactly the canon that is in the Hebrew Bible today, which is our canon. Notice in Matthew chapter 23, verse 34, Christ said these words, "Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city." Now notice, "that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar." Very interesting. The first murder in the Old Testament is that of Abel. Did you know that in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 in our Bible, that's the way we designate it, which is the last book of the Hebrew canon, you have the murder of a prophet by the name of Zechariah. His father's name is different because sometimes in ancient times the grandfather and the father were sometimes used interchangeably, but it's the story there of how he was murdered in the temple. What Jesus is saying is, from Genesis to Revelation, as we would say it in New Testament times, from the beginning of the canon to the end of the canon, all the righteous blood that was spilled from A to Z. You notice that Jesus clearly shows that the canon that he is accepting is that of the Old Testament ancient Jewish canon. Did you know that there never was a commission or a committee or a council that met together to determine what books were going to be in the Old Testament? They never gathered and debated the issue and said, "Well, I vote for this one and I don't vote for that one," and they never duked it out, so to speak. That never happened any time in history. It was the people of God who discerned that certain writings were of God, and they accepted those writings, and they rejected others, and soon the people of God, the Jews of the Old Testament, accepted a certain body of literature as having come from God, and they all believed that prophecy ended, the miracle of inspiration ended for them with the prophet Malachi 400 years before the coming of Jesus Christ, and they subscribed and they agreed that this collection of books was the Word of God. And I see in that the providence of God. Now, it's true that there was a council later that ratified it. They looked at the list and said, "Yes, we agree." But they were actually ratifying what the Jews had already done hundreds of years earlier without a formal council. There was individual debate, but it was never determined by a council, but by the people of God. That's the Old Testament. Now, what about the Apocrypha?
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and most assuredly, I hope that you stay tuned for the rest of this message. And I hope that you take the opportunity to get a copy of the book entitled Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. In that book, of course, I give more details than I could possibly do in a radio broadcast. And it will help you to understand not just how the canon came to be, but seven different reasons, yes, different reasons, as to why the Bible is trustworthy. I hope that you love the Word, read the Word, and above all, obey it.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of The Canon of the Bible, another message in his series, Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Tomorrow, more about the Apocrypha. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's Word as the roadmap for your race of life. This series is now in print as Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. And this book can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.